Yesterday, Pastor Sharon Beck walked us through about 49 of the 53 verses in Luke 24. And with that in mind, I'd like to ask you to focus on one of the verses of that chapter. Verse 21. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. In Jesus' name, beloved of God. How quickly things change. It was just a month ago that our tour choir came back from springtime in the southern states, only to have a snow day the following week. How quickly they change. Just a month later, the rhododendron in our front yard is in full bloom. The trees are budded, waiting for this cold wind to stop. It does appear, in spite of it, that springtime is arriving. And it was springtime in Jerusalem, too. A half-hour walk from the west gate already brought the two disciples away from the pollution of the crowded capital. At the edge of the plateau, the air seemed fresher and freer. They made their way through the rocky region, another half hour or so, and they could stop and look back not only on Jerusalem, but all the surrounding country, even as far as Bethlehem. Then they were beyond the dreary, rocky area and entering a beautiful valley with a babbling brook, and the spring air filled with the scents of orange and lemon and olive groves. It was blossom time in that fruit belt, and it must have looked even more beautiful compared to the gloom that they had left behind. But neither of those disciples were enjoying those things that gloomy Easter afternoon. They hardly even saw them as they were walking with downcast eyes. They came to an intersection. One path curved off towards Lyfta in the northwest. Another went off towards Kolonia in the northeast. And straight ahead, up on the heights, perched Emmaus. It could have been at just this intersection that the two were joined by a stranger to them, not to us. And as they met him, Jesus asked them why they were sad. They said, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know what has happened?" Of course, he was the only one of the three that did know what really happened at Jerusalem. But he asked them, "What?" And they began to tell him about Jesus. It was not that they had stopped loving Jesus. You could tell from the way they talked about him that they had not lost their love for him. But because of the events that had happened, they had lost their hope in him. "We had hoped," they said, "that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." So it did not matter how beautiful the countryside was, or what time of day it was, or whether the sun was shining or the wind was blowing. We would find it hard, too, to undertake a project, wouldn't we, if we could not look forward to its completion? How much effort would we put into solving a problem if we thought it could never be solved? Would we look to God for help if we thought there was no help to be found there? And how could we ever endure hardship or pain or sorrow if we could not look forward to relief from it? They thought that there would be no relief from their disappointment that weekend. We had hoped. What a world of misery is contained in those words. When we lose our forward look, we lose the strength to go on. That is why those who have pinned their hopes on earthly riches or health or friends or other material things are in such despair when those things pass away. Not just any hope is worth hanging your heart on. But where can a solid, secure future be found? Where does one find a hope that will make it possible to turn around and run some 7 miles back to Jerusalem without supper? It cannot come merely from the experience of seeing Jesus with our own two eyes, because our eyes can be fooled. They did not recognize him. When they saw him face to face. Nor did Jesus tell them to look hard at me. Don't you recognize me? He wanted them instead to remember what the Bible said. And from all the prophets since Samuel, Jesus showed those disciples how God was still in control. God had not failed. Jesus had not failed. Both victory and suffering were promised to the coming Christ in those ancient writings. This is what made their hearts burn with joy and with new hope. This made sense out of all that they had seen in the past week, but had not recognized. So the new hope that now sprang up in them was not just from the fact that Jesus had somehow pulled through, but now they saw for the first time that he had accomplished what he was supposed to in all of that suffering. They could not get enough of this stranger's word, and they insisted that he come in and spend the night as their guest. And then suddenly he was no longer their guest, but the host, as he had been all along, now breaking bread. Can he ever be a guest for very long in a home where he's not permitted to be host? And then he was gone, like another choir tour. But this time, their hope was not gone with their vision, for it was firmly grounded in the word of the prophets. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word shall not pass away. Once again, they failed to see the beauty of the region, this time because they were hurrying back to Jerusalem to tell of a greater beauty, the hope that filled them, the hope that fills us. Amen. Hymn 292, the first and last stanzas, 292, stanzas 1 and 9.
Heavenly light for us be ever. grant that in thy holy word we here may live and die, dear Lord. And when our journey endeth here, receive us into glory.